Welcome to the Voice of Providence, a radio ministry of the Providence Baptist Church, with our pastor and teacher, John D. Jones.
And I want you to know it would do us all well if we would make it a point to be sure to teach the up-and-coming generation that, listen, God's Word is sure. God is faithful to keep His promises. It is the Lord who does not fail us.
Providence Baptist Church, located at 8523 Providence Road, Ooltewah, Tennessee. You can visit us on the web at www.providenceonline.org. We would love to hear from you. Send us an email at voiceofprovidence@gmail.com. And now, here is Pastor Jones with today's message.
I invite you to take God's Word and go with me to Joshua chapter number 23. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel, that all their enemies round about, and that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for the elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And you have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised you. Be ye therefore very courageous, to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among the nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the names of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourself unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he has promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Else if you do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off the good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you. And not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he have destroyed you from off his good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. Even when you have trespassed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourself to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you." I want to call your attention to verse number 14, and I want you to notice this entire verse. I believe it's the heart of this chapter, and it expresses the heart of the message that is burning in the heart of Joshua. He says, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know that in all your hearts and in all your souls, that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. As we are coming now towards the end of our series of studies looking at the life of Joshua, this man of faith and obedience, this man who was strong and courageous, I want to speak to you on the topic, the reflections of a dying man. As we come now to Joshua chapter number 23, we enter into the final days of Israel's mighty general. The conquest of the land has taken roughly 7 years. And at the end of those 7 years, the land is divided out by lot. And then as you move into chapter number 23, you'll notice in verse number 1, the Bible says that it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about. As you enter now into this chapter, there has been quite some time that has passed. No less than 20 years has passed from the time of the completion of the conquest of the land and the dividing of the land to what unfolds before us now in chapter number 23. Now understand, although they had divided the land, there were still pockets of resistance. There were still areas of the promised land that still was inhabited by the people that was there before they arrived. And there is something that is worrying this man Joshua. There was a burden that he had, a concern that was kind of gnawing at him, if you will. He is concerned that complacency would take hold of the people of Israel. He understood, by the way, that complacency, it was a real threat to the people of God. The days of fighting had come to an end, and for at least the last 20 years, Israel was enjoying relative peace. In fact, the Bible says that God had given them rest from all of their enemies round about. There had been no kind of skirmishes, nothing. They were enjoying the fruit of the land. They were enjoying the milk and the honey and all of the blessings that was afforded to them in this promised land. Joshua was concerned. He was concerned because they had enjoyed such a long period of peace and tranquility. He was concerned. Concerned that the calm waters, if you will, that had come to them because of the faithfulness of God would be the same calm waters that would just rock them gently to sleep and lead them and push them away from the Lord. This is weighing heavily on the heart of this man Joshua. It's interesting, by the way, as you move through this chapter, there are no less than 7 references to the nations round about them. No less than 7 times Joshua says, listen, I want you to be very careful. Do not give heed to these false gods that are close by. Do not make any kind of agreements. Do not make allegiances with the Canaanites and these other groups that are still here. Do not give your sons to marry them, and do not take their daughters to you. Do not begin to assimilate to the culture round about. No less than 7 times he warns them about the people who were still there. In this passage, we see the reflections of a dying man. It's interesting, by the way, how that the reality of our own mortality has a way of just kind of bringing clarity to the things that have clouded our life and clouded our perspective. It's an amazing thing how when we come to a certain point in our life where we begin to realize that we don't have as many years or many days, many months left, all of a sudden, we understand what really is important. I mean, if we were to think of our life in the terms of dollar bills, think of this just for a moment. If we think of our life in terms of dollar bills, the Bible says that the average life is 60 years. He says 70 years, or by means of strength, and it may be 80 years. In other words, let's say that we start out this life and all of us have $80 in our pocket. It's an amazing thing when you've got $80 in your pocket and you say, man, that's a lot of money. You ask any five-year-old, if they're holding 75 $1 bills, they're going to think, man, I can buy the world with 75 $1 bills. But you come to a person who's 40, he's holding $40 bills. Come to a person who's 50, they're holding $30 bills. You come to the person who's 79 and he's holding change. This is such an encouraging message. And for those, listen, for those whom God blesses and they actually live beyond 80, what a tremendous blessing that is. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, we are all living on borrowed time. Because not a one of us in this room can demand a certain amount of years from God. But He graciously gives us X amount of dollars, one for every year. I don't know how many dollars the Lord gave me. I haven't a clue how many's left in my wallet, but I want to use every one of them for His glory and honor. And it's an amazing thing about how the older you get, it just seems like the reality of how short and brief life is, it has a way of dispelling the clouds that have distracted us from those things that really are important. Joshua now is an aged man, and he's very open and very honest. But if you take all of these things that he has to say, it can all be summarized with what we find in verse number 14. He says, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. He says, my time of departure is at hand, if we were to borrow the language of the Apostle Paul. He says, but this is something that you all know. Every one of you know in your heart of hearts, God has been faithful. And we need to be faithful to our faithful God. Everything that he says can be summarized in those brief words. God has been faithful. You know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. These, my friend, are the reflections of a dying man. And what's interesting is that most commentators believe that at this point in Joshua's life, he's somewhere around 110 years old. He truly is aged and waxing old. This is what he's thinking. This is what is on his heart. The reflections of the dying man are threefold, and I want you to think about these with me just quickly. Number one, we find that the one thing that presses upon his heart is that God's Word is sure. We see that not only is God's Word sure, but God's will is certain. And not only is God's will certain, but God's work is settled. Notice this as this chapter unfolds. Number one, God's Word is sure. In verse number 2, the Bible says, and Joshua called for all of Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. He comes now to this point in his life, and he calls for this massive assembly. He said, I want all of Israel to come together. I've got something that I've got to tell you. And before he meets with all of Israel in chapter 24, he meets with the tribal leaders, the heads of Israel. He meets with them in conference first, and he pours his heart out before them. He says in verse number 3, he says, you have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan, even all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight. And ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God, notice, hath promised you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside from the right hand or to the left. Notice, ladies and gentlemen, the first thing that is pressing hard upon his heart is this one fact, is that God's Word is sure. As Joshua addresses the whole, this new generation, as he prepares to speak to them, he calls together this assembly of these leaders. And this is what is on his heart. The first thing that he wants them to understand is that God's Word is sure. Understand, mingled in this group that he is addressing, he's talking to a new generation. He is talking to those who have only heard of the story of the conquest as a secondhand story of those who lived it. He is preparing to address a whole new generation, those who are enjoying the sacrifice and the fighting and the battles, the previous generation. And he wants them to understand it was not because of their military prowess. It was not because of how powerful or how mighty they were. The reason why they had been victorious, it was because God was faithful to keep His Word. And I want you to know it would do us all well if we would make it a point to be sure to teach the up-and-coming generation that, listen, God's Word is sure. God is faithful to keep His promises. It is the Lord who does not fail us. It would do us well to do our very best to impress that truth upon our children and our grandchildren and every young person whom God has put within our sphere of influence. God's Word is sure. Every promise in Him is yea and amen. Joshua encourages these leaders of Israel to remember what they've seen. I love how he speaks to them. He says in verse 3, "But you have seen all that the Lord your God hath done." There are times in the life and ministry of every church where we need to stop and just say, let's look at what God has done. What is God doing right now, currently in your life? What prayer is it that you are seeing God answer even now at this moment? What prayer has God answered recently where you can point to and said, look and see what God has done? You see, ladies and gentlemen, it would do us very good. And it's something I need to live by and something I need to practice. Just to stop and see what God has done. It's interesting, he contrasts what they see in between verses 3 and verse 5. He says that the Lord your God, He shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, part of our problems is that we look at the enemy more than we look at our Savior. Part of our problem is, myself included, that I am prone to look at the problem more than I am to look at the Prince of Peace. Sometimes I look at the circumstances more than I look at the Savior. But what we need to do is to remember what God has done. Understand, it is God who has been faithful. It is God who has kept His Word. It is God who has promised them. And every promise of God is in Him, yea and amen. Not only is God's Word sure, but secondly, you'll notice that God's will is certain. Picking up again in verse number 6, and the Bible says, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand nor to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourself unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong nations. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. But the Lord your God, He it is that fighteth for you, as He hath promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Else if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them and go in unto them and they unto you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you." Notice God's will is certain. God's will for them was that they would have all of the land. God's will and purpose for them was that they would receive all of the promised land. But understand, they were not ready to receive all that God had for them. This is quite interesting to me. When Joshua passes from the scene, although they had entered the land, although they had the greatest, most effective military conquest in the history of humanity, even though they had conquered the promised land, there were still enemies that were there. That next generation still had some that they had to dispel. This is quite interesting to me. Why would God leave certain pockets of resistance? I'll tell you why. Although it was God's will for them to have all 300,000 square miles, they were not ready to receive all of that. And you say, how do you know? I'll tell you. Exodus chapter number 23, verses 27 through 30. This is what the Lord says to them. He said, I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Hittites from before thee. And I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. Notice that expression. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God's plan and purpose for them was that they would have all of the land, but they were not ready to receive all of the land that God had for them. And so it is with us. God loads us up every day with benefits. That's what the Bible says. You say, why doesn't God give us everything all at once? I'll tell you why. Because we're not ready to receive it. Sometimes God has to work in us to prepare us to be able to receive what He has for us. God cannot drop all His blessings upon us because we are simply not large enough, if you will, strong enough, prepared to receive it. We have to grow and we have to mature. And as we grow, God continues to work in our lives and to accomplish His will, His plan, and His purpose in us. God doesn't drop everything on us all at once because we are not prepared and ready to receive it. But as we walk with Him, as we grow, He prepares us to receive everything that He has for us. God's will for them was that they would have all of the land, all 300,000 square miles of it. But when they entered in, they were not ready to be able to handle all of it. So it was given to them little by little. And if they wanted to actually possess all of it, there were some things that they needed to do so that they could have all of God's blessings. Just a couple of things quickly, just looking at this passage. For instance, they had to obey the Word of God. He says in verse number 6, He says, I want you to be courageous, very courageous. Keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside there from to the right hand or to the left. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if we really want to receive all that God has for us, we need to yield ourselves and determine that we're going to obey the voice of the Lord. God cannot bless us the way He wants to if we are walking in disobedience. Another thing they had to do is reject the false gods and the faulty culture of the world around them. Do you want all that God has for you as a child of God? I do. And for that to happen, that means that I am going to have to yield my life to Him so that He is the number one influence in my life, not this world and its faulty cultures and its false gods. If you and I want to experience all that God has for us, He should not have to wrestle and fight, compete for our attention. But not just our attention, but also our affection. He says that we are to cleave unto the Lord your God. Notice that in verse number 8. He says, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as you have done unto this day. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we should not allow God to compete for our affection. We should love Him first. We should love Him most. And if we will see His will accomplished in our life. God had a plan and a purpose for the people. And that will would be realized in their lives as long as they would hearken to the voice of the Lord. Dear friend, I want you to know God has a perfect plan and a perfect purpose for your life. But we can miss that if we are distracted. We can miss that if we go through this life asleep, just coasting. We can miss it. The reflections of a dying man, where God's word is sure, God's will is certain, but thirdly, God's work is settled. He says in verse number 12, "Else, if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them and go in unto them and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your heart and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you." God's work is settled. Joshua wanted them to complete what God had started. Joshua wanted them to know complete victory. The complete victory that God had in store for them. God knew what he would do. And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, there is a completeness to the work of God. The Lord does not leave things half done. He does not leave things undone. God is faithful. But sometimes our poor choices, sometimes they hinder or impede God's plan. But listen, it never thwarts his plan. For this new generation, there were still battles that needed to be fought. If they remained faithful to the Lord, God would bring all these things to pass. God would give them this complete victory. But should they turn from the Lord, should they cease from following God, just as sure as God, who was faithful to fulfill his promises of blessing, God was also going to be faithful to fulfill all of his promises to deal with them, to bring evil upon them. Every blessing was theirs because God is faithful, would understand. Every cursing would be theirs because God is also faithful. God's work is settled. There's a completeness to it. What God has started, God will complete. By the way, I take great joy in that fact. I take great comfort in knowing what God has begun in me. He wants to bring it to completion. He doesn't want to leave things half done. And the truth of the matter is, that's true of all of us. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6, notice the Bible says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." In other words, God will not give up on you. He has a plan and he has a purpose. He has a work that he desires to accomplish. And as we walk in obedience to him, God will bring those purposes to pass. And friend, should we walk in disobedience, understand God has too much invested in us to leave us alone and just let us live like the devil. I don't know about you, but dear friend, I want the best that God has for me. I do not want to settle for less. History tells us that Israel did in fact settle for less. The whole promised land, it was laid out in front of them. There was 300,000 square miles. The most they ever inhabited at one single time was 30,000 square miles. The most they ever received was 10% of all that God had promised to them. And today, Israel is only about 8,000 square miles. In other words, that's a third of the 10% of what God wanted them to have. The reflections of a dying man. God's word is sure. God's will is certain. God's work is set.
Thank you for listening to the Voice of Providence, a radio ministry of the Providence Baptist Church, with our pastor and teacher, John D. Jones. Our prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. We are located at 8523 Providence Road, Ooltewah, Tennessee. You can visit us online at voiceofprovidenceonline.org. We would love to hear from you. Send us an email at voiceofprovidence@gmail.com. And until next time, may God richly bless you.